Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. Hey, Magic Makers, Kim here. I wanted to quickly pop in to this podcast and share with you about something that I've recently discovered. If you follow me on Instagram, you've been seeing my what I call Movement Mondays. And every Monday, I've been sharing with you some type of rehab, some type of corrective exercise that I've been doing to really help my shoulder that I injured back in June. And while the corrective exercises are awesome and my shoulder's starting to feel better, I want to share with you something else that I've been using. I have been using CBD cream. Now I know, I was the same person. I was like, CBD, like, does that stuff really work? And let me just tell you, that stuff really works. It has been a game changer for me when it comes to just helping me just the nagging ache that I used to have in my shoulders. And, you know, as you know, I do my research. And so what I found is that CBD cream is what helps to reduce the inflammation caused from the damage that I did to my rotator cuff. And it uses our endocannabinoid system to really help us get into deep down into our nervous system to really help calm down those nerves. And let me tell you, we could get all techie, all sciencey, but it has just been a game changer as far as really helping me rehab my shoulder. And I just can't talk about it enough. So if you're somebody who has been, you know, has nagging aches and pains, and you're looking for a little relief that you're not getting from the other products on the market, I gotta tell you, the CBD cream that I've been using has just been an absolute game changer. Plus, it's not stinky, right? So I don't have to worry about, you know, wearing it during the day and wondering, is someone gonna be like, who is smelling like old man? That's not the case. So if you're interested in finding out more about CBD, do me a favor, click the link in today's show notes. All right, guys, today it's a topic that I think so many of us need to talk about. And I have Naomi Rothstein here. And or have you changed your name?
I've been married just over a year now, and I am proud to say I'm keeping my name.
All right. Even if you did change your name,
won't happen.
In my head, you're always going to be Naomi Rothstein.
Like, that's what I will be.
Okay. So I wanted to have Naomi because this is like a full circle moment, right? Naomi and I met did we work together before coaching?
Yes. Yeah. Well, because I joined Savage as a competitor. So we definitely were working together, like at Fit Corp. Yes.
Yeah.
Because I started working there is because Ashley Hayes,
yes,
her ex-husband, ran the PT department, and she actually helped me like get my foot in the door. So yeah, it was actually, we probably met like very similar time. It all happened together.
Yeah. So we physically worked together at a gym. Then we were a coachee relationship. Yes. And now we're friends/colleagues/...
Yeah. All the things.
All the things. And so one of the things why I think is a full circle moment for me is that I've seen Naomi grow to where she is right now. And I just like, you know, like, tears well up in my eyes because I've seen her go from that like obsessive place to now where she has a place of, I'm going to call it peace, right? If there's another word, we'll figure it out along the way. But like she has come to a place of peace when it comes to food, exercising. And you know, it's funny as people ask me all the time, like, how did you get here? And I struggle with that. Like, I'm like, I remember my breakdown, but I'm like, my breakthrough didn't come overnight. And as we have a conversation with Naomi, like, her breakthrough didn't come overnight. So what I want you to know is that, like, it's not like I'm going to be like, today's my last day. Today's my rock bottom. And then I'm going to wake up and magically everything's going to be okay. Cause it's not. The only thing that's going to be okay is that the sun's going to rise. That's the only thing I can tell you.
You will have another day.
Right. That's the only thing I can tell you for true is that the sun is going to rise.
So true.
So Naomi, let's just like take people back. Like,
sure.
Do you feel like you ever were like always dieting, or do you feel like there was like a moment that you had that like you felt like you went from like a normal person to a dieter? That makes sense.
That's an interesting question when you put it that way. It does make sense. And I'm like, the lines are really blurry for me there because in a sense, I feel like for a huge portion of my life, I was always chasing something, trying something, doing something, whether that was as small as, I don't even know. Cause none of it is small because it all adds up to like a really bigger picture. But I do think that I've always struggled with my body image as early as in high school. It is a reason why I got into this field. I pretty much started going to the gym with my mom, like Gold's Gym, like super hard body gym after school in high school. And it was there that I like found my passion for being in the gym. Like I loved the gym and I was like, these are my people. Like, this is where I want to be. And I saw my body just start to transform by incorporating strength training and spin classes and whatnot. And I just loved like hanging out there. And so it was there that like this kind of relationship started between me and my body gaining confidence. And like from there on out, it had ups and downs. And I think food is something, I think for most women, we always are thinking about our bodies and food in some way, even if it's like so small. I would say it got real, you know, into the diet mode when I started competing and I signed up for a fitness competition. And that motivation really to push me there came from the fact that I was in a relationship and a man looked at me one morning and he said, I'm no longer physically attracted to you because you've gained some weight. Like that's what pushed me to sign up. So right away, you know, that's hard to hear when you're 24 years old and don't have a lot of confidence. And I didn't have enough confidence to say, sorry,
like,
you know, screw off. Right. I didn't know if you can swear. Right. Sorry, screw off. But
come on
there.
Right. You know me.
I know, Kim. I should have known. You know, instead I sat there and I cried and I signed up for Kathy Savage Fitness, I think 2 days later. And I remember those first progress photos I took in his house and my face was like, you guys can't see me, but it was like the most depressing face. And it was from there, it was, I think, until now. And like, I think forever a work in progress. It was ups and downs in dabbling in different diets and body image and struggling. And yeah, I think it's something that forever will be a piece of me. But as you said, I've come to a place of peace with all of that. So that's kind of the long of it.
All right. So let's go back. So here it is, you know, that asshole said to you, hey, you've put on some weight.
I hope he's listening.
I hope so too. Or I hope for anyone, any woman who's listening and your partner, spouse, person that you're dating, whatever you want to label it. I can't keep up with the labels these days, but whatever you want to label it, if anyone says something to you about your weight, that's a red flag.
Run.
It's a red flag because it's not okay if they're judging your body and you're not judging their body. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not okay for you to say that. You know, it's different when, you know, I think about like, I'm laughing because we had a conversation about how I always do things to get my husband to work out. I just want him to be healthy. Like that's it comes from a place of health, not like I want him to be a certain size.
Oh yeah.
It's like, I just don't want you to die of an early age.
That's pretty much it. Ends there.
It's really it. Like, don't die on me. That's all I ask. Yeah. So here we are. So the guy says to you, now, did you always think about competing? And that was just like the push?
100%. Yeah, I really was exposed to that world, and people ask me all the time, they still do, like, how did you, like, what is this? Like, what is, like, you know, like, something you talk about, like, when you're in the competitive, like, when you're in that culture, is, like, honestly, how to talk to other people about, like, and explain to them about what you're doing, Kim.
100%.
I know. And because it's really hard to explain to your mom's friends and your uncle and Aunt Sue, hey, I'm going to get in a sparkly bikini and get really tan. And do all these things. And then they're like, cool. So what do you win? And you're like, nothing. And they're like, what now? So wait, what? And so, you know, part of it is explaining what it is. But yes. So when I started going to this Gold's Gym, again, super hard bodied Gold's Gym, there was a trainer there who would train women for shows. So when I was 15, 16 years old in the group fitness studio at those off times, they were in their sparkly heels and he was doing posing with them. And I was obsessed with Oxygen magazine. And so I knew this world. And in my head, I was like, that would be amazing one day to do. And I just kind of put it in my back pocket. But yes, I knew about the world, 100%. Right.
Yeah, because it's like, I always have to ask that question because I'm always curious how people get exposed to it. You know, I was exposed to it just because my trainer at the time was an ex-bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. And I needed another goal. So that's how it started for me, that it was like, he's like, you're driven, you could do this. And that's how it started. And I always like to have a conversation with people when it comes to them, because it's the ultimate body.
100%. It's that, like, Oxygen magazine, like, I want to look like those cover models. Like, that's what, and for a long period of time, I actually, like, wanted to pursue modeling. Like, I said that to my parents after I did, like, my first two shows, and they were like, what? Like, and I thought that's like, and I think a lot of competitors think that, like, cool, I'm going to go, like, fully go just do modeling. Like, that's going to be my career. Obviously, you know, lots of twists and turns happen, and I ended up not doing that and didn't want to. Also, I should say what pushed me is that I was managing a corporate fitness center inside of a corporate company. And one of the women who was just coming to work out, I saw her come in one day with her Kathy Savage Fitness bag. She had a Kathy Savage Fitness bag and she was holding her workout. And I could tell she had such a regimented program, and she would come in day after day and, like, do the workout. And I knew Kathy Savage Fitness. And so one day I just started talking to her and I said, are you, like, doing a show? And she said, yeah, I am. And, like, started talking to me all about it. So that also, like, I got some inside information, getting to really know her as well.
Yeah. And you know, I get that. And I think most people kind of come to competing because either, you know, you saw someone in a group fitness room, you, Oxygen magazine. I mean, my God, that was like the holy freaking grail. That was that was like competitors. Like, I'm like, I don't even know if there is even another magazine that has that same allure that Oxygen magazine had. You know, I don't know if it, like, in the gaming world, if there is a magazine that has that, or, but it was just like, if you didn't have a subscription to Oxygen magazine, like, did you compete?
Yeah. Yep. Like, who are you?
Right. Yeah. Like, you, and so, you know, here you are, you're competing. And right. And as you know, I was your coach, and I know there were times when I'm like, hey, open up your diet. Hey, open up your diet a little bit more. And was it, you were like, at this point where you think to yourself, like, I need to control the amount of food that I have, or control the amount of exercise that I have, you know, or were you still in the relationship with this guy at the time, or?
No. That ended. It's funny. So I started competing. Like, I signed up for Kathy Savage Fitness, and my first coach was Nicole. Before, I think you put me through two shows, but Nicole put me through, I think, my first two. And, anyways, I dropped a lot, like, my body completely transformed, like, in a very short period of time, because it was my first, as you know, Kim, like, and many of you listening, just so you know, if you've, like, never really dabbled that much in strength training and never really played around with your diet at all, your body is going to respond so much quicker than if you are coming from a history of dieting a history of overexercising, because you already are inflamed and cortisol levels are high and your body is just, it's harder to budge. But my body, like, literally, like, the week after week pictures, my clothes were falling off. I was gaining muscle. Like, it was incredible. So anyways, I had this, like, brand new body come 4 months later. And then, of course, my ex-boyfriend was like, oh, cool. Like, this is great. Now you look great. But he didn't want me to compete. He thought it was disgusting. He didn't agree with it. And so I was, and he kind of said like, it's me or the show. And I was like, well, at that point, you know, something that competing did give me was the sisterhood and the incredible friendships and the incredible support and confidence to have this like safe place to go. And it, at that point, it was like a clear decision for me. I was like, well, I'm going to do the show and I have all these people behind me backing me up and like screw off. So then, yeah, no, I broke up with him probably right around my first show.
Yeah. That just makes me so crazy. Cause there are, that,
I don't think I answered your question, but
no. So basically,
we'll go back to it.
So basically, you know, you're like, you, at the end of the day, you started doing this for you. Like you realized like, yes, this was something that like, he might've been the person who pushed you through the door. Mm, mm-hmm. But once you got through the door, you're like, you know what? This is something I can do for me.
Yes. Oh my God. 100%. And the confidence I gained and, but to answer your question, I think it was about like food, controlling food. It became a very slippery slope for me. And if you are someone listening who has lost a bunch of weight and transformed their body, I think you will forever be in a little bit of fear that you're going to go back to that place. Mm. Like if you're someone who's lost a lot of weight, like you just get you have the propensity to get like super micromanaged with your food and super nitpicky with your food and weighing and doing, you know, scales and following a very strict regimen because you feel like if I eat this piece of cake or if I go 2 ounces over my chicken, I could just gain 20 pounds back and be back in that place. So for me, it was a lot of that. And I was gaining all of this external validation from people. Mm. So women being like, oh my God, Naomi, your body looks amazing. How do I get to look like you? And then from men, I was gaining a lot of this attention that I never had before. So I was like chasing this external validation for a really long time. How did I do that? Well, I micromanaged my food and I did everything that my coaches said and probably didn't listen to everything they said when they said, have a cheat day and take 2 days off. Like I didn't. And I just kind of drilled my body and mind into the ground because I wasn't doing the things I was supposed to do because I just kept chasing external validation and chasing this look, this body that I had from that first day that I stepped on stage year round.
Yeah, no. And you know, that's the tale of so many people that, you know, that body that we diet you down to have for legit, you know, 2 hours and, you know, want you to come back. Everyone lives in that, you know, they want that day of show physique and, you know, it's just not sustainable. And I know for many people, I can tell you this, you can hear this podcast. And if you're not ready to hear it, you'll just be like, you don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm different. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, at what point do you feel was that like, you know, I think everyone has to have their own rock bottom, right? You know, like many of us, you know, especially as a coach, it's so tough. Like you invest in your clients. At least I do. I invest in my clients. And when you see your client, like, you know, they're kind of like your kid and you see them running towards a brick wall and you want to put your arm out to like stop them from running into the brick wall and they push your arm away and you're like, well, I guess you're going to have to learn and I'm just going to be here to pick up the pieces. Like what do you think was your brick wall?
My brick wall personally, like when I was going through all this, I mean, for me, that was unfortunately when I was rushed to the ER because I had a perforated peptic ulcer when I was 26. I mean, that was my literal brick wall moment. Like I saw my life flash before my eyes. So very, very briefly, when I was 26, I had a severe abdominal pains, went to the hospital. They tested me for all sorts of stuff, came back, whatever, you're really constipated, go home. I went home, got way worse, went back to the hospital. They took a x-ray of my abdomen and my intestine burst and I had a perforated peptic ulcer. So that was when I was 26. It was in the midst of literally when I was competing. I still did 2 shows after my ulcer, but it was a aha brick wall wake up moment for me to literally like, I can't live my life like this, like this. And I'm not saying that competing caused it. I'm not saying that extreme dieting caused it. We don't know what caused it. Gut health issues of all kinds. I am working with many functional medicine practitioners. I have. And I will say though, for me, it was a moment of like, this is not worth it. Like what I'm doing, like, and how I'm living my life. I don't hang out with friends. I can't date. Like, I was single at the time. I can't date. I'm extremely rigid with everything. I wasn't enjoying my life as a 26-year-old, and I didn't know what it was like to not have freedom around food and not to take 2 full days off of exercise, and that needed to end, and not have variety in my diet. Like, it just needed to end. And so it's from there on out, it's been a really long process for me.
Now, so one of the questions that probably about maybe 10 episodes ago, I interviewed someone who was, you know, an overexerciser. And one of the things she said is that, you know, when she hit her brick wall, she went to, and again, I'll link this, I'll link that show in the show notes. She went to an acupuncturist and she thought she was fine. And her acupuncturist is like, your body is screaming at me right now.
Yeah.
And now, before you had that ulcer, was there anything that was, you know, that you can remember that was going on that you were like, body, shut up. We got work to do.
Shut up, meaning like it was giving me signs and I wasn't listening.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And 100%. Like I mean, I remember like dragging myself to the gym for my second workout of the day. Like I would, in the morning, I would do cardio. In the afternoon, I would go lift. I was not eating enough food to support my body. Like like I said, I wasn't really listening to my coaches when they were telling me to like increase portion sizes and like have pizza. I was just terrified. Like I was just terrified of eating foods and not working out because I thought I'd get back to that place. And I also, part of this, you know, which we haven't talked about, is like, I had this image, right? Like I'm a competitor now. Like I'm a fitness competitor and I'm a trainer. And like, I have this image to upkeep for my clients and for men who I go on dates with. And like, I'm a trainer. And so like I felt, and I still think all trainers feel this in some capacity.
Oh,
like
125%.
And so I think there was this underlying pressure to look a certain way, to do certain things. Like, I'm not going to have a piece of cake. I'm a trainer. Like I don't do that. Yeah. I'm going to go to the gym twice a day because like I'm so hardcore. I'm not going to drink alcohol because I'm so hardcore, even though I'm 26 and all my, where that's what you do when you're 26.
Right.
Like it's so, and I'm 34 now, just to give context. But, you know, so I think that it was a combination of a lot of pressure from me wanting to compete and do another show, and also like just doing what I do for a living and having this image to upkeep the whole time.
Yeah. And it's funny because I think, for a lot of people, we have an identity, and it's funny. I have an upcoming show, and one of the women that I want to talk to is that she focuses on ex-athletes and, you know, you are no longer the Olympic skier. You are no longer the whatever you're kind of, even if you weren't an Olympic athlete, you are professional or close to professional, or maybe you played at an elite level in college and now you're going to work at an insurance company. And it's like, how do you separate those two things? And I get it, because it took me for a really long time. I got caught up in that too. It's like, how could I be a trainer and I don't want to go to the gym two times a week?
Yeah.
Yep. I want to take 3 days off and just sit and it be okay.
Totally. And I remember I actually just put up a post about this on Instagram, and I wrote, your job is the least important thing about you. And I got a lot of people messaging me, and I think, you know, that goes both ways. And I shared this story about how when I was dating and I was online dating, and I would write, you know, career, I'm a personal trainer. And the messages I would get were just like so unwelcomed. It was like, cool, that's amazing. Like, how much do you charge per session? Or like, your body must be banging. Right. Or it was like guys telling me their entire workout schedule. And it's like, look, I'm a trainer, but it doesn't define who I am. I like to eat cake. I like to color. I like to go to museums. Like, there are so many things about you that make up who you are. And just because you're a trainer, like, you don't have to have a six pack and look like you're ready to get on stage tomorrow all the time or ever. I mean, like, it's this concept that I think really resonated with a lot of people. And it also goes for people who don't love their job and are just like having a job to get by and make money and, you know, just don't truly enjoy their job with a passion. And that's okay too.
Oh yeah, 100%. You know, trust me, there was plenty of times I hated my job.
Yeah. Yep. I hear that.
Even when I was a trainer and I was like, oh my God, I can't.
Oh my God. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So it's okay to hate your job. So here we are.
Bottom line, it's okay to hate your job.
I
circling back.
I know. I laugh because my husband always yells at me because I think probably there's been like probably like 10 people that I've convinced to quit their jobs. And he's like, Kim, would you stop that? He's like, because someone's going to come knock.
You're getting everyone. Yeah.
Someone's going to come knock you on a door and move in with us. I was like, well, I always say, I'm like, before, and if you're thinking of quitting your job, you may please have some type of support.
Like, yep. Yep.
Or have a nice, good, like savings account set up for yourself.
So true. Yep.
So here we are. So like you had the perfect storm. It was like, this is my identity. You were like feeding into it. Then all of a sudden your body's like, go fuck yourself, Naomi, because you've just beat us into submission. So here you are, you know, which, and it's horrible. Cause like the same thing happened to me. Like my body literally had to give me the finger, get in my car, run me over 3 times before I was like, oh, should I listen now?
Right. Right. It, yeah. And I don't want anyone to like think that you have to get to a place. And I'm sure Kim, you agree. Like you don't have to get to a place where like you're in the hospital and like something terrible is going to happen to you. That sadly, like that was for me, my breaking point, something that was out of my control. I wish, trust me, I wish it didn't happen. But yeah, I think we all get to this place where there's like an aha moment of some kind.
So you're in there. So, you know, again, I know this isn't an overnight thing because I know it wasn't an overnight thing for me. So it's like, you probably had to do what my friend Jesse calls them experiments. You know, you had to do little experiments to start to learn how to self-trust, how to, you know, believe that if you didn't go to the gym 400 hours a week, it'd be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So how did you, you know, come out of that, like starting to learn that like intuitiveness, that self-trust, that belief that it wasn't this like, go, 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 go.
Yeah. And I love this question. And this is something I help my clients with as well when it comes to intuitive eating or taking days off from exercise. And I call it the eating a cookie on a Wednesday. That's just like, that's the tagline. So when I have a client and I did this with myself and I still like, it's still something that I do, in terms of food, exercise, whatever. I'm not obsessed. I mean, I love movement and exercise, but for me now it's no big deal if I take 2 days off.
It's movement and exercise.
That's it. Or like if my workout is 20 minutes and not an hour and a half, like I'm good. Like this morning I did a workout that was like a 25 minute, every minute on the minute with a little warm up in the beginning. Like that was it. And I'm super happy. I'm not, but like 5 years ago, I would do a second workout later in the day.
Right. Cause that wasn't enough.
Right. That wasn't enough. So something that I tell clients is I let them know this is not something that's going to happen overnight. As you said, it's going to take work. It's going to take trusting, giving your body permission. So a lot of times our clients, I'm sure yours too, Kim, like we have food rules. So weekends, like Monday through Friday, you're so good, right? Like you eat the salads and the kale and all the things and the nut, you know, the coconut oil. And then Saturday and Sunday comes around. And for some reason, we give so much, you know, mental weight to the weekend days. And it's like the ice cream. And that's when you have pizza. And like, that's when you have all the things. And then you feel like shit Sunday night, Monday rolls around and it's the same cycle. Okay. So what I teach my clients is to treat all days of the week the same and think about a food that you quote unquote save for your weekends. Cause most of the time that's what my clients are struggling with. They save their ice cream for Saturday nights or their bottle of wine. I say, whatever you're going to have on Saturday, I want you to have it on a Wednesday. And they're like, oh, what? But Wednesday is my kale salad day and green smoothie. And I'm like, your body doesn't know days of the week. So I want you on a Wednesday night to eat your ice cream. And it's like, they're like, what now? And for some of them, it's really hard to do. But what you're doing is you're giving your body permission to eat these foods on days of the week that aren't normal. So you're like shaking it up a little to show your body you can have ice cream on a Wednesday. You can also have it on Saturday. So it's like, I kind of start there, like just kind of transitioning them to have a food that they would quote unquote not allow on another day of the week that they normally wouldn't. And the same goes with exercise. If they're working out 6 to 7 days a week, I say, I want you to remove one day or cut a workout down. Like if they're doing this workout I give them, like I've had one client and she was like, that workout was awesome. I went through it for 8 rounds when she was supposed to go through it for only like 4 rounds. It was like a, you know, AMRAP. And I was like, what the hell? What, why? So in that situation, I say, please ensure that you go through it only 4 rounds and then go live your life. Right. Now, it's up to them to follow through. I'm not going to be hand holding them. If they, you know, if they don't want to listen and they want to do 8 rounds, that's fine. But we can only help so much.
Yeah, no, 100%. And you know, I see that. And I see that most people are like, that like, if you said, oh, do 4 rounds and like that 4 rounds there, instead of going with the feeling of the workout, mm-hmm. they're going with the time. And so maybe those 4 rounds took 15 minutes. Like, right. Well, a workout should be an hour or a workout should be.
I'm not sweating yet, Naomi. I had to do more. Like, get out of here.
Yeah. It's those things. Those things come back. And I'm like, so when I give you something to do for say 5 minutes and you tell me that you're sweating, I'm like, well, then your weight wasn't heavy enough. And you were.
Right. Yeah. And if you're doing HIIT, like Kim, I'll never forget if you are doing HIIT, like a HIIT treadmill workout for 45 minutes, get the fuck out of here. Like a true HIIT workout is like 10 or 20 minutes.
Right.
And you're not doing HIIT if it's 45 minutes.
And I was like, cause I'd always tell people, I'm like, if you're at the gym, I go, I want it to be that you're like going so hard that the people at the front desk are like, should we get the AED ready?
Yeah.
That's how hard you're going for the workout. So it's like in a 15 minute workout, like it just tells me, okay, so you're not lifting heavy enough weights. Or you're not pushing yourself hard enough because you don't know how to push yourself hard enough because you're used to these long extended workouts so that by the time 45 minutes or 90 minutes come around, you feel like a dried up sponge.
Totally. Yeah. You just go for it there's some psychological thing in your head that just because it's 25 minutes, it's not good enough. So you have to go until, and I did this in college. I would go do cardio, right? I would do cardio until I hit exactly 60 minutes, 60 minutes on the nose. It was not. And if I got less, I went back to the gym.
It's so funny. In 2 weeks, at the end of the year, I did a roundup with some fitness professionals. And I said, what was the things that you wished someone told you when you first started working out? Mm. And one of the things was this woman, Casey, and I had it, and I'm sure, and you just said it, yours was 60 minutes. It had to be 60 minutes. She had to burn a certain amount of calories. I had to burn a certain amount of calories or it didn't count. I had to work out a certain amount of time or burn a certain amount of calories. And I had to burn 500 calories. I remember having to burn 500 calories and I hate cardio. So in order to burn 500 calories, I remember I had to be on the step mill, the treadmill and the stair. Like I look back at myself and I'm like, holy moly, who the fuck was I? Like I was, I remember, you know, getting up, getting to the gym, opening it before anyone came in so I could do 30 minutes of cardio before my 5:30 client. Then, you know, training and then having that, like, you know, that 2 to 4 p.m. period where it was, you know, boredom central. And I remember that's when I would get my cardio in. I remember when Armin and Angelo were getting ready for take RKC, we would do 100 swings. I would just do 100 swings or work with them on their snatch ladders for the RKC. And that was just like, that was my cardio.
Yeah.
Or if I didn't feel like it was hard enough, I would go upstairs and sneak up and get a few 20 minutes on the Stairmaster.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, we've all had our crazy and come back from the other side. So here you are, you're like the cookie on a Wednesday, like that is just like gold. I highlighted it. Like I take notes on every one of my podcasts. This whole notebook is filled with my podcast notes. And so I like that because you're right. We all kind of like Monday through, I'd say Thursday. Let's say Thursday. Monday through Thursday, mm-hmm. I have it down. It's locked. I know exactly mm-hmm. what's happening. Friday, maybe it's Saturday is my, or maybe it's Sunday fun day, whatever it is. One of those 3 days turns into a shit show. Mm-hmm. And so I like having a cooking on Wednesday because then people can say, I can get back up tomorrow and it's no problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Eat the cookie on a Wednesday. What you're doing is you're building respect, you're building trust, you're building permission with your body. And I, like I said earlier, like I really want to reiterate this. Do not try to change everything all at once.
Yes.
Like, and I'm not suggesting that you overhaul your entire way of eating. What I'm suggesting is you literally eat a cookie on a Wednesday. Like that, or, and the cookie is just representative of whatever it is that you save for a weekend. And just remember, your body doesn't know days of the week. Like I find it in, and I don't find it insane because I was this way. I'm just so far removed from it that now looking back, it's hard for me to, you know, put weight on days of the week, but like your body doesn't know that it's Saturday. So what's the mental connection to Saturday? That's when we eat ice cream. Just eat it on Wednesday.
I know your body doesn't know. Time of day, or it doesn't know the day of the week. Cause like people are like, I stop eating after six.
I'm like, well, okay. That's your choice, but that's not helping you lose weight.
Right. And I was like, or intermittent fasting. You know, one of my girls, she's like, you know, which is fine. Like, great. If you, but she, you know, she was trying to go by the times that they go by. And I was like, but it's not working for you. So it's all about having a big window of no eating. So you define the time. Because it's like, I can't eat dinner before 8 p.m. I can't do it. I try really hard. And when I do eat dinner before 8 p.m., I'm like, okay, who am I and how do I repeat this? But I can't eat dinner before 8 p.m. So there's no way that I can stop eating at 6 p.m. It's just not going to happen. Right. But if I were to do my window, it starts at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So where, you know, some of us have these rules that other people made. Now we have to look at it and say, how do I open it up so it fits my life?
Yeah, totally. Yep.
And so, you know, you went to the hospital, you started like saying, this is like, it can't be this way anymore. So other than the cooking on a Wednesday, what are some of the other things that you do as an intuitive way? Like that it's like, I'm listening and honoring either where I am in my season of life or just what my body needs like right now in this moment.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like what my body needs right now in this moment. And I think as I've gotten older too, like I've paid way more attention. Like, you know, this is for ladies, if you're listening, I pay way more attention to times of the month and like really like learning more about like cycle syncing and food, because there is there's so much research. And like, I find that if I'm really paying attention to times of the month, not only in terms of nutrition, but also in terms of the type of exercise that you're doing, like your body is going to tell you things. Like when you're in your ovulatory phase, like that week, that's when you probably feel like more energetic, stronger, like feistier. And that's when you should be doing like hard hit training. And for me, I don't necessarily like my hunger isn't like skyrocketed during that time. So I listen to it. I eat what my body needs. I always like to have protein at all of my main meals. I love to, you know, put mainly my starchy carbohydrates pre and post workout. And other than that, like I'm just listening to my body. And then when you're getting closer to your, like when you're actually menstruating, that is when my body is like, nope, we're good. We need like lower impact workout. We need more yoga. We need more walking, like those kind of things. And my body always craves like warmer foods and like smoothies, like warmer foods. I know those two things are very different, but if you guys just do some research, and I mean, I have people too who, and there's plenty of resources and books about all of this stuff, but for me, I've just been more in tune, like honestly, with my body and how it's feeling. And am I hungry right now? Okay, I'm hungry. what do I want to eat? What do I have on hand? What sounds good?
Right.
Because I used to just honestly pre-make all of my food and that's what I would eat. It didn't matter how I felt, what I was doing, time of the month, it didn't matter. But now I don't, as Kim, you know, you and I, like, I cannot meal prep for the entire week. I haven't done that in years because I don't know what I'm going to want to eat tomorrow. I don't. Yeah. So it makes zero sense to me anymore because I would prefer to listen to my body. And that takes practice.
Yeah, 100%. It takes practice. And it's like so many of us just go by the rules, right? If I want to be healthy, it has to be chicken, brown rice, and broccoli. Well, it could be chicken, but what if it's chicken and it's marinated in buffalo sauce?
Right.
That's great. You know,
if it's getting you to eat chicken, right. Or like I'm not going to put dressing on my salad, but you know what, guys, if you put a little bit of salad dressing on your salad, cause it gets you to eat a big salad, that's a very small rock kind of thing. That's not going to affect your progress in the long run.
Right. You know, during lockdown, my husband has been home since March and I eat a salad every day for lunch. It doesn't my variety comes in like the different vegetables that I add in or the different mm-hmm. dressing I put on. And I'm fine with that. That's all I need to get that salad down. My husband, no. So for him, he needs bacon bits. Great. Mm-hmm. He puts bacon bits on it. And he also needs these little like wonton strips, whatever. mm-hmm. But it's like, if those little things are what's going to, you know, light you up, have those things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
totally.
I like that. I love that we talked about the food. We talked about food rules, but also like, as you're saying, you know, as people are kind of going through this, is there, I don't know if there's a process, right? Is there like a place to start? Cause you know, someone's listening and they're like, everything they say, you're like, check, check, check. That's me. That's me. Is there like, you know, a process? Is there a place that you think that people can start, you know, other than small, like where do you think is what can we give them as a takeaway to start on this intuitive process?
Oh man, honestly, I would work with someone. Like I wouldn't try to do this all alone because it's really hard to do it without accountability and without support. Whether that's finding a dietitian who really supports in, you know, who is like an intuitive eating dietitian or getting like into a group coaching program where you can work with other women who are really like sick of diet cycles and you're all kind of in the same place, quote unquote, in terms of like you want food freedom. Like there's tons of resources and like, you know, people on Instagram and coaches and dietitians who work with that. Evelyn Triboli is, she's like she came up with like the entire intuitive eating, premises and like the 10 steps for intuitive eating. Yeah. So she is a wonderful resource. You guys, like you could start there. But like the number one thing I would say is don't try to change everything all at once. If you are in a place where you are constantly thinking about food 24/7 and you are always thinking about the next diet and like, you know, and you want to lose 5 pounds or whatever it is, what I always ask my clients too is why?
Mm.
Not why do you want to eat more intuitively? I think everyone should do that. But why is losing this last 5 pounds important? Like what can you look in the mirror and say 3 things about your body that are positive? Because change is very, very hard to occur. Change is really hard if you are already in a place that you don't like yourself and you don't like your body. You have to be in a place where you love yourself and you love your body and you are willing and eager and want to put in work to even gain a better relationship with your body. So that all comes with a lot of support. That's not something I would recommend you go dig deep and do on your own. Looking into a therapist or, as I said, a group coaching program, there's tons of resources, books to help with all of that.
Yeah, I 100% agree. You know, it's definitely not something that you just like wake up one day and you're like, oh, I'm going to be an intuitive eater, right?
Right.
And I think the first place is to start with Evelyn's book because it gives you And this is, and when we both say this, it's more of a consciousness versus follow this or die. Mm-hmm. It's just more of a, what, yeah, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you're like, I want to explore more of this. So she lays it out really nicely, like what intuitive eating is. And then one of the things I always do when I read diet books is that I take what I need at the moment. And I'm looking at my shelf. I have like about 400 diet books. And it's like, at the moment I take, I'm like, oh, you know, this little piece right now is what I need versus trying to invoke all of it. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep.
So I ask everyone.
Yeah.
Well, what is one thing that makes you feel magical?
Oh my God. That's a great question. One thing, is this like an actual thing, like an object it could be anything.
The world is your oyster.
Something that makes me feel magical, honestly, like this might be cliche, but like my clients, like the people that I work with, nice. Like the people that I help, you know, whether it is personal training clients, coaching clients, I'm now business coaching. So helping other trainers and coaches build their businesses. I love just learning about people and how they learn and how they learn best and helping them reach a goal and like really understanding their why and just trying to put out content and create things and products and, you know, anything I can to help those people, to help my clients. So they make me feel magical. Like I wake up every day and I'm like, how can I help my people today?
100%. I love that. I absolutely love that. And yeah, I'm always trying to, like, as we had this conversation, it's like, how do I get people to stop hitting that brick wall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Like if I can help someone love their bodies more or intuitively eat, that's incredible. If I can help someone create an online business where they are making more money and creating more freedom in their schedule and avoiding burnout, that's incredible. Like I want those things for people.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And Naomi, you're all over the socials. Where can people find you?
Yeah, I am on Instagram, is just my name, Naomi.Rotstein, super easy to find. That's me on Instagram. I also have a podcast, the One Fit Foodie podcast. So it has its own Instagram handle where Kim was just interviewed and her episode was released actually a couple weeks ago. And I have a website, which is just NaomiRotstein.com. Again, super easy, Googleable.
Yeah, I love being Googleable. It makes life so much easier.
And good SEO.
Yeah, exactly. Who knew when your parents named you? Like, you could have been like,
Sarah Smith.
Sarah Smith, absolutely. And then you're like, there's 50 Sarah Smiths in the world.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This has been a great conversation. And as always, I love takeaways, right? What was that one takeaway that you had? What your one aha? Screenshot this, tag myself, tag Naomi, and let us know, because this is why we do it. We want to make sure that we're bringing you the good stuff. Thanks so much for your time today, Naomi.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Kim. This was amazing.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.